If you're wondering why it's taken me the best part of a month to talk about the raid on Osama bin Laden's complex and his killing, well, the reason is because I was angry about what happened and I wanted to talk about this objectively, and that's difficult when you're angry. I'd just like to talk a little bit about why I was angry. Firstly, it's not, as some people have suggested, that I'm the chair of the rugby branch of the Osama bin Laden fan club. And it is simply because I believe in justice. And I'm naive enough to believe when our leaders tell us that we're invading countries because they don't recognise justice in the way that we do, or democracy in the way that we do, that we should liberate their people and give them this great thing called democracy, because we're better than them. Well, I don't know. Too much about what happened on that day leads me to think, are we that much better than them? I'm not sure. An argument I constantly get is, Osama bin Laden showed no remorse for the people who died in 9/11 and their families, and that's fine, he didn't. But I'll say again, we're better than him, aren't we? That's what it was all about. Anyway, that's not what I want to talk about, but I just thought I'd let you know where the anger was coming from. What I actually want to talk about is the raid from a PR perspective, the communication around the raid from the US military. Now, when I did my PR diploma, one of the works of journalism that I most enjoyed was by Nick Gowing called A Sky Full of Lies and Black Swans, which is published by the Reuters Institute of Journalism Studies as part of their Challenges series. It's available on their website, free to download if you sign up. Now, in Sky Full of Lies and Black Swans, Gowing raises two things I always talk about frequently in terms of modern media communication. Now, the first one's the three F's, which is, yeah, in modern media communication, you have to be first and you have to be fast, but you have to balance that against how flawed the information you put out will be. And the second important thing, I think, is the tyranny of the timeline, which, as a result of social media, things happen a lot quicker and you can't always control them, because it's no longer the case that the traditional media or large organisations have complete control over the timeline of any event. People do, because people can access things like Twitter and they can tell stories that may contradict official accounts. And one of the examples Gowing uses is the US bombing of Afghanistan. And some of these raids, the US Army were quite keen to say, oh, yep, we didn't kill any civilians at all. Which is a story to put out is great, if it's true. Unfortunately, there were people on the ground with these wonderful things called camera phones who were taking pictures of civilians who had actually been killed during these bombing raids. The US military found very quickly they couldn't control the communication environment or the timeline, and they ended up looking horrific as a result of it. Now let's jump forward to the Osama bin Laden raid. Here was a situation almost unique in that the US military had total control over the narrative of events. There was no one else present who could tell a different story, because anyone else present who wasn't US military either ended up dead or will probably never see the light of day again. And to start with, what we did get from the US military, they got it right. They were first and fast at setting the scene. Navy SEALs stormed Osama bin Laden's compound. There was a firefight, and as a result, Osama bin Laden was shot as an act of self-defense. This narrative is perfect. The hawks who want their bloodshed get their fill. A bloody firefight leads to the death of bin Laden. American might prevails over evil. I mean, even liberals like myself can be content with the initial narrative. After all, the SEALs had no choice but to kill Bin Laden. Their lives were in danger, so it was kill or be killed. And add to this that the Attorney General reviewed the evidence and agreed the killing was lawful. It's satisfying enough even for liberals. Okay, the bizarre sea burial rings an alarm bell or two, but the official account that the military put out works reasonably well. We didn't want to create a place of pilgrimage if we buried him on land, so all good so far. And from this point, it should have been fairly easy. You control the timeline. There can't be another version of events to corrupt your story. It should have been easy to strengthen the narrative with a drip drip of supporting evidence. But unfortunately, this isn't the US Army way. What we actually got was a near masochistic campaign of totally undermining the initial stories. So, firstly, we were told there was a firefight. And shortly after this, we were told that the military didn't recover any weapons. So, if there was a firefight, why were no weapons recovered? So that's number one. Number two, Bin Laden was posing a threat to the SEALs, which is why they had to shoot him. Now, I've yet to hear a satisfactory account of what this threat manifested itself as. I've heard that one US military source said that threats could be made against people's lives without the use of weapons, which, okay, yeah, is fair enough, unless the person making these threats is a man in his 80s and is outnumbered by heavily armed and very well-trained Navy SEALs. It's hard to believe in that situation that Osama bin Laden could have actually posed a threat to those SEALs in that building. So that does make you wonder a little bit. But that's okay. The Attorney General reviewed the footage of the killing and found that it was lawful. Which is great until you find out that the Navy SEALs turned off their video feeds on entering the compound and that these feeds were off for 20 minutes, up to and including Osama bin Laden's killing. So there wasn't any evidence for the Attorney General to review. And suddenly, the narrative that started off so good is left in complete tatters. And once again, the US military demonstrates little understanding of PR. Well, why does it matter? Well, in my opinion, I won't have been the only one to have noticed this. In fact, I've read other accounts that are much the same. And these inconsistencies in the narrative are the bedrock that future terrorists will build their hate upon. Now, I ran this piece by a friend who frequently provides me with a devil's advocate point of view on things. He said this: "So you'd rather be lied to, Paul?" And you might be wondering the same. Well, the answer's no. I'd rather have the truth and the whole truth. But if an organisation is going to spin a yarn around events like this, it's at least reasonable for them to keep it consistent. What you don't do as an organisation is tell a huge satisfying lie, then spend the rest of your time undermining it with devastating truths. Situations like this are just too important to get wrong. Well, thanks for listening to me. And in the words of a dear friend, if you don't like these thoughts, stick around, I've got plenty more.